You earn a living. You probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuel, so on throw, was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the realest business show on the radio. On Balogun and Broad, we talk about how the issues in the news affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for them. Will FMCGs recover from forex losses? That's the big question on my mind today. Actually, I've got two big questions on my mind today. Today, we're actually going to Balogun Street and Broad Street. So on Balogun Street, we're talking about forex losses for the FMCGs, but eventually we're going to get to on Broad Street. Sorry, we're talking about FMCGs and their recovery from forex losses. But on Balogun Street, we'll talk about the transportation business here in Lagos. It's been 1 week since that announcement that the Lagos State Parks and Garages Committee will not join NLC strike, and the governor of the state also saying that drivers will slash their fares by 25%. It's been 1 week. So we'll check in and see how that is going as well. All of that will happen right here on today's Balogun and Broad. But yes, back to Broad Street, where FMCGs have incurred some losses as a result of our forex situation. The decision to float the Naira, it's still one of the biggest stories in the business world. Some of our biggest companies are reporting losses because the Naira value of their revenue is no longer matching the dollar revenue. Dollar value of their costs. MTN, Dangote Cement, Dangote Sugar, Nigerian Breweries, Guinness Nigeria, International Breweries, Nestle, Unilever, all of them have reported first half losses due to Naira devaluation. That's our business hard fact for today. We've already seen some of them raise some of their prices in response. So what we'll do is talk about why these forex losses are happening, what the companies are doing in response, what the consumer can expect as a result. My guest is the founder and chief analyst at Naira Metrics, Ugodre Obichukwu. Welcome back to Balogun and Broad.
Thank you, Sandra. Thanks for having me.
Lagos, let's also hear from you. What questions do you have for Ugodre? What comments do you have about these forex losses, the forex situation in general? Call me from Balogun Street. Call me from Broad Street. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Ugodre, when a company says that in the first half of the year, they recorded a profit in Naira, but it was actually a forex loss, what does that mean?
Profit in Naira and a forex loss?
Yes, what does that mean?
So what it just means is in your income statement, you can have a profit, which means you made money during the period in question. Mm-hmm. However, you could have made more if not for forex losses. So forex losses is considered an expense for companies. And without the forex losses, maybe those companies could have made more money. So if you take, for example, MTN, MTN typically grows every quarter. They typically grow by double digits. They typically grow their profits by double digits. And so, but for the first time in a long time, because of forex losses, they were not able to grow their profit. They did still post profits, but it was lower than the corresponding period a year ago. Mm. And that is because of forex losses.
Okay. So it's a direct consequence of the rapid unification of the exchange rates. Was this avoidable? Would unifying the rates gradually have helped here? Or is this something that was bound to happen? So just better to rip off the Band-Aid?
Well, it's unavoidable. And that is why it cuts across a lot of companies. Mm. The only way you could have avoided that is if you had maybe a lot more forex in your reserves or in your bank account than Naira. So, but a lot of these companies operate in Nigeria, and so Their revenues are in Naira and most of their expenses are in Naira, except perhaps for expenses that they have that are in dollars or loans that they have that are in dollars. So what has happened is that a lot of these companies did borrow in dollars and some of them also have dollar obligations. So when you value those dollar obligations, so let's assume that a company has a dollar obligation of 1 million naira, $1 million. So at the previous exchange rate, which is the official rate that they're expected to report their accounts in, they would have said that that $1 million was valued at 460 million. Now, but by unifying the naira, by default, that $1 million is now 700 and let's say 50 million. Naira. So the difference between 750 million naira and 440 million is the loss that they would have to record in their books. So it's not like, you know, money is lost like that. So it's what accountants call paper losses or paper profits. So in this case, paper losses. But it's real because at the time when those obligations do fall due, they need to go and look for that difference to make up. So that's why there's really nothing much that they can do, a lot of these guys. Now, some would tell you that they can hedge, which means, you know, maybe they could have found a way or expected something like this to happen with the new government coming in. So maybe they may have, you know, done a lot of financial hedges, but it's not that easy to do that. These are just things that just needs to happen. And that's why for a lot of them, it's unavoidable. For you to hedge, you probably must have taken a position about a year ago. So I don't think anybody even thought that the exchange rate would be where it is today. And mind you, on the streets is 900 and something there. So whereas officially it's 770 something. So you do think that there's still more losses down the road as things start to take shape in the economy.
It's very interesting that you bring up the two prices, because one of the reasons for the unification of Forex was to end arbitrage, but it does seem to me like that's still going on with the disparity between the official rate and black market rates. Now, I know that the laws of demand and supply are at play here, but could you explain to Lagos why, even though we have an announcement, it's going to be one naira rate now, and for a few weeks there or a few months there, it seemed to be the same price at the market, the same price at black market. Now we have a price difference of almost 150 naira between the two markets.
So what you're seeing play out here is the forces of demand and supply. So the INE window is the official market for buying and selling Forex, right? And however, to access that market, you know, you probably are a major importer, or maybe you want to buy dollars for holiday, or one of the official needs why you need to buy dollars. But the challenge has been supply. So let's assume you want to travel on holiday, or you want to pay school fees for a child or ward abroad, and you go to your bank today and say, I want to buy dollars, I want $5,000. There are very few banks that can give you that. In fact, most of the banks won't give you. We did a survey at Nairametrics, and most of the banks don't have it. They don't have. So what do you then do? You go to the streets to buy it, right? And so when you go to the streets to buy it, you're probably going to find supply, but you're going to be buying at a higher rate because there's a lot more demand than supply over there. And so the reason why you have that disparity is that at the official INE window, there's not enough supply to meet everyone's demand there. Because you don't have enough supply to meet everyone's demand, people now flow into the parallel market, and people are ready to pay anything just to get the dollars, because you have to pay your child's school fees, you have to go on holiday, you have to pay a bill, you have to do something. And Nigeria's demand for Forex is actually quite high. So that's the challenge. So for the INE window, what a lot of us have also wondered is that how come the rates are still this stable at 750, 770. So who's buying? Who's selling? Who is the person selling there at 770 or 750 or whatever it is the rate lands, when you can as well sell higher on the streets, right? So because as the disparity continues to widen, there's less incentive to want to you know, trade at the official market.
Market, right.
And so, yeah, and that now, you know, starts to make you wonder whether, you know, the current exchange rate at the official market is actually reflective of reality. I mean, because no one really knows. So that's why you have that disparity. And if supply doesn't come quickly, or if demand doesn't dissipate, then, you know, expect the depreciation to continue over the next short term.
From a policy place, what should the government be doing right now? Is there anything that they can even be doing right now?
I think they are doing what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And what they need to do is essentially woo foreign investors. Okay. To come into Nigeria. And a lot of that, those engagements are happening. You did see the former Minister of Finance and the President of the World Trade Organization, and Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, in the country as well,
yes,
to see the President. So you've seen a lot of engagement happening because Nigeria needs short-term funding in whatever way. It could be through foreign portfolio investments. It could be through foreign direct investments, which is often better, but takes a lot more time. Or it could be through maybe, you know, bilateral funding from some country. But we do need that short-term supply, because with that short-term supply, then you can achieve exchange rate stability, right? But the challenge for most foreign investors who want to actually bring in short-term supply is the interest rates. The interest rates in Nigeria is too low. When I speak to interest rate, I'm not talking about lending. I'm talking about saving.
Okay.
So if you want to save money today, or you want to buy treasury bills or any of these short-term investments, they're going to give you, I think the latest treasury bills numbers came at 9% for 1 year. Treasury bills, 9%. Meanwhile, inflation rate is 22%. So that margin is too wide. And so for foreign investors, so imagine if you have $1 million and you're in the US and you're looking for a country to invest in. Are you going to want to bring in your $1 million in Nigeria, convert it to Naira, and then you fix it in a bank for 9%? And then by the time 1 year is done, I won't take your dollars back. It's probably worth less because of exchange rate depreciation, right? Whereas another option is to take that same $1 million and then invest it in maybe a mutual fund in the US that probably gives you 5%. I think it's a no-brainer. You want to do the mutual fund that will give you 5% because it's less risky, and your $1 million will be $1 million at the end of 1 year. And so that's why, people are saying, look, you've got to find a way to increase the interest rates, maybe through some form of financial instruments that can attract foreign investors to bring in their money so that rates can become stable. And then you can now, you know, once you now have a stable rate, you can now start to do the other hard work of getting investors to actually come in with dollars, which is FDI, which is actually what we need. So that's the part that it's taking a bit of time. And to be honest, there's really no time. As you can see, it's just we're barely 2 months. We just went past 2 months since we had the unification of the Naira. And you've seen that we've gone from 730 or so when unification was announced to 900 and something Naira now.
Yeah.
So the market is not waiting. The market, things need to move on. People are buying dollars. People need to pay their bills.
Yeah.
So as government is negotiating its way out and trying to solve this problem, things are getting worse. And so there's really no time. That's really the enemy of the government. So it's not like they're not doing anything. They are, but there's just no time. And so it appears that we have to be faster at what we're doing.
Faster at what we're doing. Lagos, if you just tuned in, hi, good evening. I've got the founder and chief analyst at Naira Metrics on the show with me, Ugodre Obichukwu. We're talking about the Forex losses that members of the business world have, shall we say, accrued as a result of our unification of the dollar. And you have several companies reporting, MTN, Dangote Cement, Dangote Sugar, Nigerian Breweries, Guinness Nigeria, International Breweries, Nestle, Unilever, all of them reporting first half losses due to the devaluation of the Naira. Ugodre, Nigerian Breweries is increasing its prices. Do you expect that other affected FMCGs will do the same?
Of course. I mean, that's why some of us worry that the current inflation rate is not fully reflective of reality. And just a few hours ago, Ghana, which is, you know, Nigeria's neighbor, also released its own inflation rate numbers. I think the inflation rate in Ghana now is was it 43% or thereabout. So that's the problem with you know, a rapid declining exchange rate. Everything tends to go up, right? And then it sort of spirals. And so it's not the first time Nigerian breweries is increasing prices, or Guinness, or any other person, for that matter. They would always need to increase prices to adjust for reality.
Right.
Now, for these companies, they have three options. It's either that they sell more, which is increase volumes and keep prices low, or they increase prices amidst declining volumes, or they do nothing and then they incur losses and shareholders lose money. So because inflation is here and purchasing power of Nigerians are equally low, people are not buying as much as they expect. So
are we going to create a vicious cycle where demand keeps dropping?
Yes. That's why I told you that the biggest enemy for the government and for Nigeria right now is time. There is just no time. We need to get things done quickly, because if you don't, then things will keep spiraling. And once you enter that vicious cycle, it's very difficult to get out of it.
I'm also curious about how this will affect the cash flow of these FMCGs, especially the ones that took on a lot of short-term debt through commercial paper. Are we likely to see a situation where in the next few weeks they feel the squeeze from their creditors?
Well, the interesting thing is that we did look at the balance sheet of some of these companies. And the positive here is that they do have cash. So they're not cash squeezed
right now.
One good thing that a lot of them also did was that they have a lot of long-term debts, and then their debts are also quite compatible with their cash flow.
Right.
So there's no pressure yet for any of them to, you know, start to, you know, worry about cash.
Okay.
And then there are also several other levers that they can pull. Remember, I said that interest rate is still low anyway. So some of them can still go to the debt market and then raise even more money to finance their existing debt. Some of them can restructure their existing debt. And some can even go and raise equity from investors. So there are a lot that they can do, for now. So it's not a threat at all.
Okay.
Mind you, remember what I said, you know, I think the government is in putting the right step forward. I think we're in the right direction. It's just time. Don't have the time.
Now, we've seen GSK end their operations in the local pharmaceutical market, and in part they're ending because of operating costs. Is there a danger that some FMCGs will go beyond raising prices and also close their operations here? Especially if we're thinking of what you keep saying, that this is really a battle against time.
Yes, and that's a major concern. And this is just the first. There's likely going to be a lot more. Remember that for a lot of these companies, they are not holidaymakers. They are not NGOs. They are here to do business and make money. So if they find out that, you know, the more money they put into Nigeria, the less they take out of it, then there's no point investing here. They rather just find another market where they can go to, and that's the challenge with exchange rate. You know, constant exchange rate depreciation, especially when you're a country that doesn't export. If it was like we exported, then it may have been better. But we don't export, so most of what we produce here is for consumption. So what tends to happen is that when they make that money, they have to convert it to dollars and take it out. So when they convert it to dollars, it's just minuscule. So to them, they're like, why bother even operating this place or keep a subsidiary here when what we're getting out of it is just very small? So that's the challenge that a lot of companies face. And we're also seeing that by extension to even diaspora Nigerians. And so the Student Emergency also done a bit of survey. We found out that a lot of diaspora Nigerians now are very hesitant to invest in Nigeria. And, and the reason is that when they bring money here, you know, from abroad into Nigeria, you know, to invest, by the time they want to convert and maybe take the money back, it's lower, it's less. You know what I mean? So they rather just keep the money over there. And then, so most times what they tend to do is do projects that are emotional. So maybe, oh, I want to build a village in my house.
Yeah.
Or I just want to own a property in Nigeria. Yeah. So those are emotional investments. Yeah. But what we need is capital investment, investments that you're doing because you want to make money out of it. Because then you're actually bringing in a lot more money. And so the same way foreign investors are pulling out of Nigeria or foreign-owned companies are pulling out, it's the same way diaspora Nigerians are also hesitant about investing in Nigeria. So that's why exchange rates stability is very, very important in any economy. You've got to have exchange stability. And so long as this remains a problem, we're not going anywhere.
All right. I have a final unrelated question while I still have you. What do you think about the proposal from the presidency to move all federal revenue collection to FIRS?
Well, it's something that I support personally, even if it's for the sake of doing business. Nigeria's ease of doing business. So today, what tends to happen is that you deal with multiple agencies, collecting agencies for the government, and that can be a hassle. But if you're dealing with just one revenue agency, then it's easier. You know you're dealing with FIRS. So I remember every company has a TIN number. And so with the TIN number, you can say, okay, this is how much I'm paying for federal income taxes. This is how much I'm paying for education tax. This is how much I'm paying for custom GT and all the other taxes that are available. So, and then, of course, for government, it helps them as well because they are able to streamline their revenue. They are also able to properly account for the revenue that they are collecting. And then, and most likely that they can then now focus on actually increasing tax revenue to GDP, which has been historically low in Nigeria. So it's something that I support. You know, however, we also need to be sure that the FIRS has the capacity to actually manage the several revenue streams that the government has, because they're quite humongous. Customs alone is almost at par with the current FIRS in terms of how much revenue they collect. So taking over customs responsibility is huge. So because customs has several ways that they actually generate revenue.
Yeah.
You know, same as you know, the people who control the port authority and what have you. So that is the only challenge that I have. But aside that, in terms of the thinking of it, I think I do agree that yes, we do need one major, you know, IRS or FIRS, you know, rather than having multiple agencies, at least from a business perspective.
Ugodre Obichukwu, thank you so much for joining us on Balogun and Broad today.
Thank you.
All right. Ugodre is the founder and chief analyst at Naira Metrics, and he's been very gracious with his time today. Lagos, when we come back from this break, let's talk about bus drivers. Let's talk about the transportation business here in Lagos. Last week, Oluomo confirmed that drivers under his union will slash fares by 25%. Now, you've been asking how this is possible. Those drivers have to buy tickets, settle union, all of that, etc., etc. What will happen to their money? They are private businessmen and women. They are buying fuel expensively. Oluomo and his committee are saying, look, we're also going to slash the prices of those tickets as well. And today, 1 week later, I want to ask how that is going. Are you still paying the same amount you were paying before for transportation? If you're a bus driver, have you slashed your fares? Are you still being harassed by Agbero? Are they collecting the same amounts they were collecting before, or have they slashed their prices as well? Passengers, are you paying the same thing you were paying last week, or are you paying something different this week? Talk to me after the break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
All round the clock, all year round. Never a time the journey would have been easy without you. You made your number one talk station, Nigeria Info, part of your everyday life.
Nigeria Info, call us. You people, I like the energy. This is what I want to hear every time.
And now, because of your active listening and contribution, we are crowned the radio station of the year. We are incredibly humbled and honored to be standing on the solid ground of your trust on our programming. This recognition means so much to us, and we are deeply grateful for it. Thank you for making this possible. Thank you for choosing Nigeria Info. Thank you for answering our call. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
Let's talk about the transportation business here in Lagos. We've gone to Broad Street. Now we're going to Balogun Street. On Broad Street, we took a look at the losses that FMCGs reported from the first half of this year. I'm talking about people like MTN, Dangote Cement, Dangote Sugar, Nigerian Breweries, Guinness Nigeria, International Breweries, Nestle, Unilever, all reported first half losses due to Naira devaluation. And I had Ugodre on the show with me, and we went into why that's happening, what it means, what it could mean, what needs to happen next, etc., etc. Now let's talk about transportation. Last week, Lagos State Parks and Garages Committee said it won't join the NLC strike. Oluomo said the transport union is okay with the steps that Governor Sanwo-Olu is taking to cushion rising prices. He confirmed that drivers under his union will slash fares by 25%. How is this possible? Because those drivers still have to buy tickets, they still have to settle union, all of that. Committee says it's also cutting ticket prices. It said that last week. Olumo's committee said they're going to slash tickets by 25%. So tickets that were 800 naira before at the parks, they will now be 600 naira. Booking fees will also be reduced by 25%. That's what Olumo and his committee are saying. It has been 1 week. How far? If you're a driver, if you're an operator, if you are an owner of commercial vehicles, have ticket prices, ticket booking, ticket booking fees, have those come down? And then for the rest of you who use public transportation in Lagos, has transport fare come down? What were you paying last week before Governor Sanwo-Olu made the announcement and MC Olumo also concurred with the governor? What are you paying this week? 0700-993-993-993-01-465-7190. Call me from Balogun Street. Call me from Broad Street. Let's have this conversation. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. I've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Give me a call back if you can. Good evening. Oh, that's unfortunate. Call back, please. Hi, good evening. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Yeah, hello.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, is that Nigeria Info?
This is Nigeria Info. What's your name, sir?
This is our wife, Nigeria Remo.
That's fine. Welcome.
Yeah, please, I'm calling from Olegu Ikeja.
Okay.
Yeah, I was telling you, this is our own money, but the Aboros, they're not reducing their own money.
Okay. So who has reduced their own money?
Our chairman in our park.
Yes. Okay.
They lose their own money by 25%.
Okay.
Yeah, they lose their own money. That's the problem we're facing now.
Oh, so the chairman in your park has reduced their own money by 25%, but Agbera are still collecting the same amount of money.
Yeah, still collecting the same amount of money we are paying before.
Hmm. Have you reduced your own price as a driver? Did you reduce your own price?
Yes, they lose their own price by 25%.
Okay, by 25%. But you're still having to pay Agberos. How much are you paying Agberos? Paint a picture for me.
We are paying 2,000 every day. The same one we are still paying. That's before I'm sure now.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
That's what they're paying. But there is a few the home money. We are putting to MCO room or to call all our money in order. To use the home money too.
To call who in to order?
Our chairman. Okay. Olamaruwa.
Ogamaruwa. Olamarowa. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for calling and thank you for sharing. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Call us on 0700-993-993-993. Good evening.
Good evening, Sandra.
Welcome, sir. What's your name?
I would like to remain anonymous.
Welcome. Talk to me.
You asked me for this, I would have reduced their own money. They have not and can never ever reduce their own money.
Okay.
Because they are still collecting the same money they're collecting.
Okay.
A park at Kuka to Aguda. They were collecting 100 naira when it was 185, when fuel was 185.
Hmm.
And they still collected 100 naira when it was 500.
Hmm.
Now it's 570. They are still collecting 100 naira. The drivers there, me and I have not gone to work since last week up to today because of what? After you go to work, you will come back with 500 naira.
Mm.
So it's somehow, I don't know how to put it, but they should find a way. When they are saying drivers to reduce money, what about the agros? The drivers too, they are human beings. They are going to eat. Rice is expensive. Like everything added money. And they are expecting the drivers to reduce their own money. Why? In other aspects, they are adding money in other things. Now, they are the one losing. Many drivers have stopped work. Both Uber and commercial, many drivers have stopped their work. And Agbury can never, ever reduce their own money. So all these things they are doing is not fair.
Okay, thank you very much for calling and sharing. 99.3, hello. 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 Oh, that's unfortunate. Call back if you can. 99.3, good evening. Hello.
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 Hello. You're live on Nigeria Info. Yes, I'm talking to you. What's your name, sir?
Good evening, Founder.
Good evening.
If I
welcome, okay. You have to think about your name.
I wanted to say a name, but then I
you changed your mind. All right, talk to me, Ifeanyi.
Okay, I'm an Ifeanyi driver, and then we don't have issues with our bureau, right?
Mm.
And the commission, although we've complained, they raised but you know, they consider the passengers, the riders too, so it doesn't have to be too much like that. So the thing is, the only thing now is that we have to make sure our vehicles are in order, especially so that it doesn't consume more fuel.
Mm.
At least, so we have something to go home at the end of the day. That's the most important thing now.
For e-hailing drivers. All right. Thank you so much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Miss Sandra.
Good afternoon. Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Good evening, ma'am. I'm Austin.
Austin, welcome. Talk to me.
I'm a commercial driver.
Welcome. Talk to me.
They forget whatever government is saying. It cannot happen. Agoro, if you don't give them their money, they will always fight you. That's the truth.
Okay.
It's not about the government saying whatever they are saying. Those SD Olomo can just come out and say whatever he said, but those ones on the road, they will still collect. Okay, I run, somebody say, that's in the door, Aja area.
Okay.
I run from CMS to Aja or Balinde to Aja. I spend like less than 4,000 or 5,000 naira, 7,000 every day. So forget those ones. They will only sell those ones. You don't want to walk. Those guys on the road, they are ready to fight you and get their money. And you just want to give the money. And the money will bounce back on passengers. Because they are the one paying the money. If I do not carry passengers, I'm going to my vehicle directly. My bus, free. No passenger inside. Nobody will come and stop me. But once there is a passenger inside, passengers are inside. I will pay the money. So that is that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. Let's take a look at messages on WhatsApp now. Oluwaseun, I'm so sorry. I'm just seeing this message now. We've got Alamin Ibrahim who says, I enjoyed it last week just once via commercial bus, Korokwe, going to Egbeda from Tokwemu Agege. The journey that normally costs 150 pre-subsidy wahala, the chairman of the park ensured we paid 100 naira. But you needed to see the driver swearing for him on our way. And sincerely, I didn't blame him much because he said that 25% cannot get to them, but the park people. The best thing would have been for government to open some filling stations with 25% reduction in pump price for them as a direct benefit for the rest of us. Sandra, on my way back, it reversed as it appeared no one was there to monitor them. Some drivers were calling 200 to augment the 15 naira loss from going. Woo. All right, Alamin, thanks for your message. Kevin in from Okota says, some place like Sele Jesha, Ago Palace Way, has not reduced anything. We're still paying 150, 200 instead of the normal 100. We've got Ralph from Satellite Town who says, Sandra, that idea has no meaning. The money they make on the move is more than what they pay to go in the parks. It's like beating a child with the right hand and bringing him back with the left hand. BK Max from Alimosho says, we reduce our fares every day depending on the situation we find ourselves. But Agbero even increased their charges, claiming the addition is for last month. Sandra, I knew it was an order that died as soon as it was given. I told Agbero that governor said they should reduce, and they told me I should call the governor for them. This is a government that can never monitor anything. The death of that female doctor is just one of the examples of their negligence. BK Max from Ali Mosho with that message there. We've got this message here. Sandra, it's a scam because Agbero is still collecting their normal money from Marwa operators. That's Okiki from Mushing with that message there. Okiki from Mushing, thanks for your message. Ejima says, I used public transport yesterday. Transport from Igondo to Yanoba was 200 before, but now it's 300 or 400. The Agbero are more brutal now. A politician's promise is like a promise a man made to a woman while in the bed. It can never come to pass. Okay. Kayade from Ikotun says, Sandra, I'll be fair to you about what MC Olomo said. It's true. I boarded BRT from Ikotun to Ikeja with 250. When I was coming back, I boarded public bus from Ikeja to Yenikbaja 200. From Yenikbaja to Ikotun is 200 against 400. All right, Kayade, thanks for your message. This one, it says, okay, you didn't leave your name, but you say, it's a blatant lie. The drivers in Lagos did not reduce or slash any price. Oluoma boys are like an army of pests and parasites on the roads, only out to collect as much money as they can on our roads. As for the government BRT buses, reduced only by 25%. Ife, thank you for your message. We've got this one here, Sandra, from Igbobo. The children are at home now. This is a message that was sent to Sheriff on the morning show, so has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Peter Ayarinde from Anthony says, Madam Sandra, unfortunately, Mr. Obichukwu is not here anymore. Now he says, on the bus drivers, there's no change in prices of Danfo buses. Costs on Ikorodu Road, Third Mainland Bridge and around Ikeja are all unchanged. It's as if the announcement was a rumor at this point. Interesting. Okay. This one here is a different message targeting a different person. Emeka from Bagada says, transport fares at my end on the mainland is still the same. Oh, no changes. Okay. We'll take one final call and then we'll bring you the news at 6. 99.3. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to remain anonymous.
Welcome. Talk to me.
This morning I entered from my 12 to Apapa. 900 naira. It has not come down.
Okay. It has not come down. That's all he called to say. All right. Thank you very much for calling and thank you very much for sharing. That's all the much we can take on today's Balogun Abroad. But don't go away, especially if you want to figure out how you can tap into the export market and, get involved in the export value chain. Because the thing with exports is it's not just the exportation itself. There's a lot of things that you can do in that pipeline. You know, there's a lot of services you can provide within that sector. You could be the person finding buyers, you could be the person connecting buyers to sellers, you could be doing so much. And one of the ways to quickly learn what it is that you can do is to listen to us from 6:15 after the news at 6 o'clock, where we bring you the AFCFTA discuss show brought to you by Stanbic IBTC. I'm Sandra Ezekwesile. This is Hard Facts.